Today is the fourth day of our Dhamma retreat together. So we see that the time passes by quickly. It's a saying of the wise that time consumes all beings and consumes itself as well. For instance, we began this session at 8 a.m. and now it's past 8 a.m., maybe 9 a.m. already. So this 8 a.m. has been swallowed up already, just like time swallows up all beings, all humans, animals, devas, Brahma gods, all individual jittas, all individual minds in all realms. And time consumes itself as well. And we see that the time in the human realm, it's always being used up or consumed. The same for the animal realm, the heavenly realms, the deva realms. For the devas, they have a lot of merit. They have long life. But still, with each passing day, it's one day fewer. The time passes by, consumes itself. And for the Brahma deities, they have an even longer life. A very long life in the millions of years or more. But still, with each moment, each year, it gets less and less. And time consumes itself. And for the Brahma gods, they pass the time with happiness. And for instance, with hell beings, they experience a lot of torture, a lot of pain. So a single day for a hell being can feel very long. But all the same, the time comes to an end. And time consumes itself, consumes all beings. So we contemplate this so that we're not heedless, so that we're heedful. We can recollect the final words of the fully self-awakened Buddha that see here all bhikkhus be well established in heedfulness. And we see this word bhikkhu. It means one who sees the drawbacks in the cycle of birth and death, the drawbacks in samsara. And so whether one is a monk, novice, a bhikkhuni, a mechi, a nun, a layperson, if one sees the drawbacks in the cycle of birth and death, then one can be considered a bhikkhu. So this is the deeper meaning of that. So we come together to practice Dhamma. So we see the drawbacks in the cycle of birth and death. And we see that time swallows everything, swallows every day. So for instance, myself, I'm coming up on my 71st birthday soon. So from the beginning of my life until now, it's been about 71 birthdays. And so this time gets less and less. So I'm happy to still have life. So the monks, novices, lay people come to express their mudita, their sympathetic joy, that I still have life, that I could live a long life. And I also give my thanks to the sankharas, to the conditioned formations, for this opportunity to make goodness and merit. And we see that the time remaining gets less and less. And we speak about it in terms of Dhamma. So we contemplate like this all the time. This is death recollection, Marana Nusati. So I was talking on the Dhamma with some of the monks, talking about how the mind just can float here and there, just floating all about, thinking about this, thinking about that, this story, this drama, and so on. And so we contemplate that life is unsure, living our lives, and we must die. And then this floating mind, where will it go? If we have strong greed, strong aversion, strong delusion, sometimes we're not able to think of our meditation object. We just can't bring it to mind. For instance, we might be very angry, and we're not able to contemplate it. We can't bring up loving kindness. Or if there's a lot of greed, it's the same. We can't contemplate. So then what should we do? So then we have to think of death. So if we think that we must die, then will we be angry? Or if we think that we have to die at any time or die right now, then will we think of thoughts of ill will, of harming, of anger? Because if we die in that state of thinking harming thoughts or ill will based thoughts or having anger, then the mind goes to a bad place, goes to a plane of suffering, a state or realm of suffering. Like it could be the animal realm, the hungry ghost realm, the jealous god realm, the hell realm, and so on. So these are not, it goes to a not good place or a bad place. So this is what happens when the mind dies with anger. It's like the fires of hell are already burning the mind in that moment. Because we see that goodness and unwholesomeness, or merit and demerit, they're right here in the mind. So if we think thoughts of ill will and harming, it's already hell already. And if we have this happiness, peace, and fullness of heart, then it's heaven already right here in the mind. If the mind is still and peaceful, we have rapture and happiness as the object of mind. The mind's not thinking about anything. This is like a Brahma deity. Mind has equanimity. And the mind that sees everything as empty, this is the mind in Nibbana, or Nibbana in the mind. So we come into contact with the six sense objects, with sights, sounds, smells, tastes, touches, mind objects. So these outer sense objects encounter the sense doors. And there's all this kind of sense contact. And so whether it's these, whether we take it as a 6 or 12 or 18 types of contact, it's all the same in terms of it's a experience or feeling that arises, that sense contact. So we have to be careful right there, because kilesa, defilement, arises right there. Suffering arises right there in the present. So we have to have care and caution. Do we have sufficient mindfulness? If we're angry and then we die in that angry state, then we go to a bad place. But we can fix it right here in the present by thinking of death. So we think that this life is unsure, not certain, death is for certain, that all life must end in death, that we all must die. So thinking like this, the mind can become peaceful. The body and mind feel light and at ease. We feel close to understanding the Dhamma. So this meditation object, this recollection of death, it brings the mind to peace easily. And it's especially appropriate for those who get lost in all kinds of things, get lost a lot in various phenomena. And it's something that adults can do, but also children can use this meditation object as well. Just like this young girl, she was able to meditate on death, to recollect death. So this is in the time of the Buddha, and the Buddha taught the recollection of death, Maranānusati. And this young girl could recollect death all the time. That was her Dhamma practice. And she had spiritual virtues to the level of a stream enterer already. So the Buddha went to a particular location to teach there. And many of the people in that area gathered to come listen to the Buddha. But the Buddha sat there and did not speak. He was still. He didn't say anything, and none of the people gathered there dared to speak either. And then this little girl was walking to go give food to her father, who was working at his weaving shop. And then she thought to herself, it's very difficult to meet with a Buddha. So she saw the Buddha there and went to listen to his teachings. And then the Buddha saw her there and asked her, where have you come from? And this young girl, she had a very high level of wisdom. And normally one would answer, oh, I came from my home, I came from my house. But she knew that the Buddha knew that already, that the normal answer would be, I came from home. But this is a speaking on the level of Dhamma with wisdom. So this young girl contemplated, oh, and the Buddha asked, where have I come from? She thought of her last life before she was born as a human. So where did she come from? Did she know where she came from? And she didn't have jhana, but she had wisdom. So she answered, I don't know. Then the Buddha asked another question, oh, so you don't know. And so this not knowing, asking, oh, so you don't know, again, it's asking on the level of wisdom. So this young girl contemplated that, well, I know that I must die. Death is for sure. And so she answered, I know. And the meaning of this is that she knows that she must die. Then the Buddha asked again, oh, so you know. And again, the meaning here is in terms of wisdom, so knowing what? So this young girl knowing, or where she'll go when she dies. And she answered, oh, I don't know. Why is that? Because she doesn't know, or when she will die, where she'll die, by what method she will die, or what disease it might be. She doesn't know. Having been born into this world, who knows the answer to these questions? Whether dying in one's sleep, while traveling, while sitting, while walking, one doesn't know. And so the other people gathered there, they were displeased with this young girl's answers because she was just 7 years old. They thought she was just playing around with the Buddha. And then the Buddha then taught that the world is dark, that those who know clearly are few. And so the world being dark, what does that mean? See, the world is the five aggregates, the body, feeling, perceptions, mental formations, consciousness, all materiality, all mentality. And the mind that doesn't know the truth of these conditioned formations, that is the darkness. And those that know the impermanent stress and not self are few. And so this young girl contemplated according to the teachings of the Buddha, her mind gathered together in samadhi. And so during this whole question and answer period with the Buddha, her mind was peaceful in samadhi already. And then hearing this teaching of the Buddha, this wisdom arose that was the wisdom that comes from meditation, the wisdom that comes from mental training, bhavana maya panya. And so this is a benefit of death recollection that the Buddha is teaching, when the mind can give rise to true knowledge, to know all conditioned formations as impermanent and not self, that one can't cling to any of it. We see that this death recollection, it's a samatha kamatana, a tranquility meditation object. And then having practiced that, one comes to contemplate impermanence, stress and not self, when knowing arises, one can see the Dhamma and realize stream entry. And so this young girl was able to realize stream entry at that time. And so this is one example. You see the Buddha taught, and this young girl was able to realize it. So developing the recollection of death as a meditation practice brings a great deal of benefit. It leads us to understand our lives and to not be heedless, but to have heedfulness. And brings us to be able to know and see the Dhamma, to not have doubts, but we recollect death. And we may have heard that this leads to upajara samadhi, but don't worry about this or doubt about this, because some people say that to see the Dhamma you need an apana samadhi. But when it comes to it, the mind can gather together, can know and see clearly, and give rise to true understanding. So, for instance, one can contemplate the body, contemplate that the body must die, and the mind gathers together. It's not proliferating about this or that, but the mind gathers, and then with any proliferation that starts to arise, then one can know clearly, the mind becomes bright and radiant, like seeing people walking about. One understands clearly that there's no one there. There's no me or mine, you or yours, no self there at all. It's not a being, not a me, not a mine, not a you, not a yours. It's just like a robot or a machine. Like if we make a robot with AI, we can ask, well, is it a being? No, it's not a being, it's not a self, not a me, mine, you or yours. It's just a machine that we've built according to science, according to technology. But there's no self there in truth. So we can have similarly this knowing arise when we see people walking about. It's just like robots, like this mechanical process, like this body just being like a robot. These sankharas with the nervous system and so on. And so we're able to see the Dhamma deeply like this. And so may you practice like this and contemplate daily. Sometimes we have liking arise, and we contemplate that life is unsure. We see people getting lost in pleasure, having fun, engaging in various types of shows or entertainment. And we contemplate that all these beings must die, oneself must die. Just like Venerable Sariputta and Venerable Mahamoggallana, they were watching a performance, like singing, dancing, people having fun. And they'd been watching this for a long time, but then it came to a point where it was no longer entertaining, no longer enjoyable. Before it was quite fun or enjoyable, going to a performance with music, dancing, and so on for 9 days and nine nights continuously, like a big festival. It was enjoyable and fun, and they would go each with a retinue of 500, and they would all watch this performance. But then it came to the point where they felt weary of this. They felt that it had no essence whatsoever. They had been enjoying it and having fun for a long time already, but then it came to the point where they felt it had no true value, no essence at all. Why is that? Because they saw that there was no heartwood to it. There was no essence, no essential core. They see that all this suffering that these beings must meet with, all the beings watching, all the beings performing, all must die. That this suffering can't be cured through just enjoying the entertainment. So this wisdom arose, and so they went to seek out this Dhamma which does not die. Then it came to the point where they met, or Venerable Sariputta met Venerable Asaji, and he listened to the Dhamma and realized stream entry. And Sariputta in turn went to teach Venerable Mahamoggallana. Venerable Mahamoggallana realized stream entry through that teaching as well. Then having met with the Buddha later on, they both practiced the Dhamma and realized arahantship. So may you all contemplate that life is uncertain, death is certain. May you contemplate this all the time. In this way, greed, aversion, and delusion can become less and less. So this is the training in the meditation object. It's something that we must train in. We can't be heedless, we must be heedful. In this way, our minds can become at ease. like watching the breath go in, the breath go out. The in-breath arises, stays for a little while, and ceases, goes out. And we can see this as vipassana, this clear seeing practice. There was one venerable elder monk I went to see in Chiang Mai. This was back before I ordained, perhaps about 50 years ago. And I really wanted to know about vipassana, this clear seeing practice. And this venerable elder monk taught, the breath goes in, stays for a little while, and goes out. Arises, stays for a little while, and ceases. This was a short answer, just like this. And so we see that when the mind's peaceful, then anything we can see with vipassana, with clear seeing. Then the breath comes in, stays for a little while, goes out. And if we don't have the breath, if the breath ceases, then we die right there. So we realize that we're only able to live because of this very in and out breathing. But we end up clinging to everything in the world. But we reflect, if we don't have this breath, then we don't have anything at all. That all beings must die. And having died, we can't bring any of these things with us. Like if we have a high position in society, high status, have a lot of possessions, a lot of wealth, we can't bring any of that with us. We have to let it all go. It's like if we want to reach the top of a mountain, we have to be as light as possible to reach the top. Otherwise, we'll be too tired, too weighed down. Our body needs to be light. Like monks who go on a wandering tour, they're afraid of the discomfort or suffering, so they bring a lot of material items. But then as they keep going on the wandering tour, they feel that it's quite heavy. The body starts to get tired. They see all the mosquito nets longer than necessary, so cutting off the bottom of the mosquito net, feeling that the cloth they brought is quite heavy, seeing everything they've brought with them as heavy, as too much. So if one wants to go to the top of the mountain, then one needs to have this lightness. So if we just stay in one place, then people tend to accumulate things more and more, just constantly accrue the material possessions bit by bit. So we need to practice letting go a lot. We see that our life is not sure. And so we practice sharing, giving away. We can give away material things as we're able to, as is appropriate. And in this way, by giving external things, then we're giving inner wealth to our own mind. Because these material things, they're heavy. It's a heavy type of wealth. But a type of wealth that's light is this goodness and merit. Like there's the goodness and merit of virtue, the goodness and merit of mental cultivation, of meditation, which brings about tremendous benefit. Like sitting here meditating and listening to the Dhamma, it's possible for us to understand the Dhamma as we listen. We can realize stream entry as we listen. And so we can realize lightness in this very life. And so we aspire for the highest, aspire for Nibbana. And if we don't reach that completely, we can at least reach stream entry. So I've taught for many years now. You've all practiced. So for the monastics and laity, you receive this benefit. So may you keep having effort, keep having patient endurance, having this firm application of mind, and to the point where you're able to let go. And don't worry about Sakkaya Ditti, about this personality view. Don't worry that it's hard to let go of, because that's normal. It's been deeply embedded in the heart for a very long time already, this view of self. So just keep contemplating not self continuously, bit by bit. Just keep going with contemplating not self. We see greed, aversion, delusion arise. The sense of self arises. So contemplate it as not self. See it as anatta. Know that one must die. So keep training and teaching the mind like this. And see, well, where is the self really? This physical body must break apart and degrade, must die. These 32 parts of the body disperse and fall apart. And which of these 32 parts is self? One just doesn't find it, just isn't there. When all these parts are gathered together and conglomerated into the body, we take it as self. Ignorance clings to it very quickly as self. But we can really investigate this and see if it's true. Like hold up your right hand with your left hand, or hold up your left hand with your right hand. Just feel the bones in your hand and see, is this really self? And see it as anatta. There's really no self there. It must degrade and fall apart. There's nothing there that's self, or me or mine. In this way, wisdom arises, and Sakkaya Ditti, personality view, decreases. So keep doing it. Keep practicing. Don't give up. Don't retreat. But keep having patient endurance. Keep having effort. It's not beyond your ability to do. So may you all set your hearts on this, and may you all grow in blessings.